Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my friend Tamika here with me. We're going to be talking about Beverly Hills Cop. Absolutely, this is the fourth installment of the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. Was it a must-watch or was it a flop? We're going to tell you right now what we think of Beverly Hills Cop. Or this is not going to be a scene-by-scene or a nostalgia rating or anything like that. This is just us talking about the film, if we liked it, what we did like about it, and all that other stuff. So let's go on ahead. Let's talk about Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley. And hey, Tamika, how are you? I just want to say welcome to the show. I'm always happy to have you here jamming out in the studio with me.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm almost on the payroll, but I'm happy to be here.
Yep, it's still going to be 0 out of 0, same as everybody else. So
what? Plus taxes?
What's that? Okay,
I'm just kidding. Zero plus taxes. Dang, tax. You tax nothing.
Well, speaking of tax and stuff, okay, so actually the fourth installment of the Beverly Hills Cop movies. And I was hesitant at first because of the fact that it's been over 30 years since the third one. The third one didn't get that good reception. We actually talked about that movie scene by scene. We actually did part one and part two, and I did part one with Zoe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that this is the movie that Eddie Murphy wanted to make when he was doing part three. It feels like this is the movie that he wanted to do. Because you can definitely tell he was a lot more serious in this one, but also had some comedy into it as well. So I definitely think that this was the movie he wanted to make during the third one.
Yeah. I think the movie he wanted to make and he should make is 48 Hours. Like, I think
he's on 48 Hours.
I think that is the type of cop movie he wants, where it's like a little bit of comedy, but mostly there's drama and then there's some action. I think that's the type of guy he is. He's like 48 Hours type. And he wanted that to be like Beverly Hills Cop 4.
But I think that this is actually the perfect balance, though, in a sense, when you look at the seriousness and the comedic elements and stuff like that that he wanted to do compared to the third one, which was a Wonderland theme park and stuff like that, which is something that he didn't really want to. You can definitely tell he was just on autopilot in that.
Yeah.
But this one, it seems like he was just back. And I'm just going to start off with this, okay? This is a little bit of a plot synopsis in case anybody wants to know about this. So basically, at the very beginning, we actually see Axel. He's just driving through the streets of Detroit, waving to people he knows, observing those he doesn't. He honks at the traffic cop, then warns teenagers for shooting off fireworks, but they tell him to fuck off. But also, too, this is also involving his daughter. He is in Beverly Hills. She's actually a lawyer trying to represent a client. And then what ends up happening is this. Then she winds up getting threatened from those people, and then that's when Axel comes in and gets a call from Rosewood, and that's whenever he goes on ahead and goes over to Beverly Hills, because there has to be a reason for Axel to go to Beverly Hills. So they gave him the motivation to go there, so that's something I appreciated. But putting a daughter aspect into it, especially when we never mentioned the fact that he was married. Never mentioned the fact that he even had kids. So what do you think of that part? For me, I wanted this, if we were going to get a father and daughter relationship, I wanted to see that expand first, maybe do like a flashback of it, and then go into him waving to everybody down the street.
Well, I guess sometimes it could be more realistic if, I guess, this is like his baby mom. I don't know if he was divorced. Or, do you know if he was divorced? Did he say he was?
They were separated.
Oh, okay.
Remember? He ends up saying, he was talking about the mob, like the some gangsters and everything. Goes, so you mean to tell me that I wasn't good enough to be part of your life because of those gangsters? Because your mom is more threatening than those gangsters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it could be, it was all right to me. Like, yeah, I guess they could have showed the mom and it could have been some animosity between the two of them. But I guess it's more realistic, I guess, to just have a separation, because we're just now seeing, is it Taggart?
Yeah, Taggart, and yeah. We're also seeing Billy.
Yeah, we're just now seeing Taggart's wife, and in the previous movies, he's been talking about her, so this is all right.
Well, we haven't actually seen Taggart's wife. We heard about Taggart's wife.
Taggart. That's the one that they kept like breaking up, and then
yeah
we saw her.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. In this movie, I guess it's like they show like 1 second of her, but yeah, I guess it's all right to just have it where he had a daughter and he left her. I just thought about this. If the lawyer aspect, I wonder if it would have been too cliche to make her a cop.
I think it would be, because it's, like father, like daughter kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they changed it to where, well, didn't change it, but I'm glad that they went on ahead and did the lawyer aspect.
Yeah.
Because it's a new aspect that we haven't seen from the Beverly Hills Cop movies, is have someone playing a lawyer who's part of the main Avenger of Axel Foley. So that's something I really enjoyed about it. Mm-hmm. And after that little small nitpicky thing that I have about the fact that we haven't seen any continuity within the wife and also the daughter aspect, I'm like, okay, so this is what I'm getting. I'm in. I'm dialed into this world. Axel is back, and I definitely like I like that part of it. And then her getting threatened as well, that scared the hell out of me, because it's in a parking garage, and she's hanging off the edge of it because they were.
Yeah, they did some Avengers type stuff with that, because I was like, these are some upscale criminals. Like, I mean, that's scary in general. Those parking garages with the cement walls, and just how they pushed her forward where the wall broke and she's dangling. That's scary in general. Like, even though it's impossible to do that, you still have this fear, or at least I do, that I'm going to back into this thing. And
that's why I don't do parking garages. That's why I don't do parking garages, because I have that phobia. And I also don't back. I'm not one of those drivers that can actually park my car and back up and park it straight. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where basically, you see all these other drivers, they go, well, I don't feel like backing out, so I'm just going to go on ahead and pull in this thing backwards.
Yeah. Who are those people?
I don't know, but it's not me, and I don't do parallel parking.
They think they're better than everyone.
They are. They really are.
Yeah, we are.
But, you know, I just like the danger element of it, even though
you're dangerous.
Yes. And not knowing if she's going to survive or not, if that's maybe she dies. And that was like the first thing I thought of.
Oh, imagine what a twist that was for the movie. If she dangled and then she died, that would have been the very serious element he was looking for.
Yep, that would be a John Wick situation.
Oh, yeah, John Wick.
With an Eddie Murphy kind of vibe to it. Oh, but. Yeah. But, okay, so the setup I thought was really good. And then, of course, you're wondering if Eddie is back as Axel, or if Eddie is going to be playing Eddie. You know what I mean? But as soon as you get into the hockey stadium and him trying to do what he did with Tegger and Billy, it made me laugh my ass off. Because I didn't really feel like it was forced or anything. He's trying to get him a promotion, to get the dude a promotion.
That man thought he was just going to be with Axel Foley, his new partner, and they're going to watch a hockey game. He didn't know he was on a stakeout.
And then the funny thing about that is, though, too, he goes, Axel, I didn't know you were into hockey. Oh, yeah, you know, we have the black leagues, you know?
Yeah. He's like, oh, black people can't like hockey. Oh, no, oh, God. Everything he said, he was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I'm not racist.
And then he winds up saying, by the way, this is your idea, so you're going to get the promotion. All this is you.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, that guy over there, we're going to chase him. What? It is just, it was a pretty cool scene. The action was good.
Snowplowing thing made me laugh. I'm that scene.
Yeah. Man, he done damaged a lot of county government property. Just getting a snowplow and chasing the guy down. What were they stealing again?
I think it was actually memorabilia from the players.
Oh.
Because remember, Axel goes in there inside the locker room. He goes, hey, I just went over here. I don't know if he was trying to use the bathroom or anything like that. I forgot how he... I'm just trying to remember, but he goes into the locker room and you finding out that one of the guys, they actually have the hockey player's ring. And that's when he realizes, oh, they're over here robbing the players. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a security guard that is not a security guard that is also with them that's robbing the players.
Mm-hmm. I've both.
And next, yeah.
I feel like that could have been thought out a little bit better. Because, like, who has a hockey ring?
Huh?
Who just carries a hockey ring with them in their locker?
Someone that's a conceited hockey player, probably. Oh, okay. That just looks at their rings, probably, and be like, you know what? This is going to be my good luck charm for the rest of my life. I'm going to carry this ring with me.
Definite inside job, unless that player said on TV, oh, I always carry my hockey ring for good luck.
But it could be coincidental that they were just looking and rummaging through stuff, and it just happens to be the ring itself, though, too.
Yeah, like, a little bit of a plot hole for me. I didn't even understand why they were trying to steal the ring or in the hockey ring.
Because they could probably get a lot of money off of that, especially being a championship ring and pawn it.
Yeah. I mean, like, the whole setup was kind of weird to me. Like, I can see if we're going to rob the ticket booth or something.
Right. That makes more sense. That has, a little bit of the town kind of vibe to it when they were in Affleck Ball. Then we're trying to...
money there. Or if there was a special room with collectibles from all the hockey people, or I don't know. Anyway.
I think it was also, too, as well, like, they're trying to go for, like, an 80s kind of vibe to it, too.
I understand. But...
And they're like, well, you know what? We don't have to explain anything. We don't have to expand on anything. Okay. We're just going to go on ahead and make this secondary because of the fact that we want to sell people that Axel is back.
Okay.
To do his fast talking that he normally does and things like that. Just to get that little bit out of there so that way everybody knows that he's 100% Axel.
Yes. Okay. All right.
That's how I viewed it is the fact that they're trying to sell you on the idea that Eddie is back as Axel, but they're trying to get you even further more into the character of who Axel is.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Because it's been so long.
Think too much.
That's how I thought of it. But,
this whole, era, however you want to say it, it's like we dissect things. In this day and age, like in the 80s, we've been like, why are there like Russians in California?
Right.
But whatever.
Exactly. It's the 80s, you know. It happens every day.
Red Dawn. He's like, Red Dawn, there,
Rocky.
Like, Russians coming into suburban California. Whatever.
It's typical 80s. Tropes, you know what I mean? Okay. At that time.
Okay, I try to get my 80s mind. Got it. All right. But the snowplow was cool. Okay.
The snowplow made me laugh my ass off through the whole entire scene, because then you have the guy from Mad About You back over there as now he's actually the chief of police now.
Yes.
Because Axel, don't destroy any more anything in the city. You got that? Okay. Next thing you know, he winds up hitting a porta potty. He winds up hitting a bunch of parked cars, stuff like that. And, you know, I thought that was actually funny. And then he goes, by the way, I wasn't on this case. This is actually Michael's case. I'm going to tell you this. He's solving a crime right now. He's doing a fantastic job. Yeah. He hasn't solved a case in over 10 years. I'm telling you, he's a brand new man now.
Yeah, and then he said, call the police. And he was called his wife. He's like, oh my God, guess what? I'm in the snowplow with Axel Foley. Ah, I know. It's like fanboy. So bad over Axel. I can't believe it. I'm with the Axel Foley. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I thought that was a funny thing. And then, of course, then you're wondering how Billy is going to reach out to Axel, too.
Yeah.
You know, and then he winds up telling, hey, look, Axel, your daughter's in trouble here. You need to come out here. So he winds up taking a plane, and then Billy goes missing. That's one of the little nitpicky things, though, that I have about it. I wanted more Billy in this, because I just love the Billy character. I love Billy's character so much.
Yes.
I just feel like they underutilized his character after being away for so long from that character.
Yeah, that's true. I get that. Because I thought he was dead. Like, when they grabbed him, when he was on the little stakeout, and I was like, oh, man, he dead. And then they kept calling him. They're like, Billy, where you at? Where you at, Billy? And it just went straight to voicemail. I'm like, oh, man, they're going to kill this man. I mean, it was a shock to me, but, you know.
But I knew that he wasn't dead because of the previews that we had, because of the fact that you had the reunion between him and Axel, too, where they were both glad to see each other. So I'm like, okay, so that has to show up somewhere. Mm-hmm. I just wish that it would have been a different route than that. But I understand that trying to build the character of him and his daughter than anything. Mm-hmm. And try to show a father and daughter dynamic between the two of them. And then you also have Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this movie as love interest for the daughter as well.
Yeah, I think he took up Billy's time. Time on screen, because they had to get the young people in there with their love affair and not love affair or whatever else going on between those two. I'm like, wait.
Well, don't forget, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is this generation's actors and stuff like that as well. So it's trying to incorporate the new generation while also trying to build a movie around us, though, too. So they're trying to do two things at one time and try to draw in both crowds.
Yeah, it's kind of the Expendables.
I'm good. I don't want to ever see another Expendables.
What? Expendables is awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. You got the old and the new, and they come together. See?
I'm good. I saw the first
one. Okay, all right. But, no, got it.
Yeah. But as far as the other thing, though, too, with the with Axel trying to call his daughter and stuff like that, too, and then she's hanging up on him because she doesn't want anything to do with him. And then you wind up seeing the detective in her, in a sense, because she's also a lawyer. And I love the father and daughter dynamic with that. I feel like it works when it's the two of them on screen, because of the fact that as soon as he gets into Beverly Hills, it's now serious, because his daughter gets threatened. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where his daughter's at, per se, or anything. But, you know, he's just worried about his daughter. So it has a little bit more of a serious dynamic than the third one. And that's something I really have to say I enjoyed. It's more of the detective work. It's more of them two trying to build a bond together after so many years of being away from each other, just as we haven't seen Axel in 30 years either. So it's trying to build on us selling them as a father and daughter duel.
Yeah, no, I thought she was a little bit dry. Like, I thought Eddie was like here, you know, like Eddie, and then she was like, it wasn't a balance with me for the actress, but I get what you mean. She's like the straight man. Like, she is like deadpan, straight, don't know. To me, it just felt kind of disjointed between the two of them. Like, I got the anger from her that I needed, but I guess I wanted her to be a little bit more witty. Like, her
I got you. You wanted her to be more, a little bit more like how Eddie is.
Just like how Axel is. Just throw a little bit of Axel in there, you know, because she was more like her mom. She was an Axel.
I got you. But I liked it, but like I'm with you though in a sense, because I do want a little bit more of the quickness of her thinking like Eddie, like Axel. I think that we actually do get to see a little bit of that when they go over to that hotel and that restaurant. Remember?
Yeah.
And he goes, this is the fire marshal. I need to close this place down.
Yeah.
And you guys are overcrowded. He goes, sir, the fire marshal just left. And then he doesn't know what to do. So then comes his daughter. And she plays it. Now, I thought that worked. Because now it's no longer Axel that's trying to hustle these people or anything. Now you have to try and bring in someone new to actually have the new generation be sold on the daughter doing this to them, and also for us to sell it too. I think it did. I think she landed that part very well.
Yeah, she did good with that. I know she was catching on when I think they were at the car impound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that guy had his picture on the wall, which was creepy anyway. But he had his picture on the wall, and Eddie was like, oh, we're doing a new movie. You'll be great for this movie, da-da-da. And then he's like, don't I know you? Aren't you in this movie, that movie? And the daughter was like, oh, well, what was the plot of the movie then?
Yeah, he's Jupiter, like, Ascending.
You know, it was about Jupiter, uh-huh. And it was Ascending, uh-huh. And what else?
And it Ascended?
It Ascended and something else. I was like, oh my God. I was like, don't worry, nobody else saw it either.
No, that movie, I remember when the Wachowskis did that movie.
Mm-hmm.
They spent more money on the CGI than the plot itself. And it bombed and tanked at the box office.
Yeah, I was like, don't worry, nobody didn't see it either. So it was about Jupiter and it was Ascending.
Exactly. And that's it. That's all you need to know. It's like a dad joke, though, right?
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, and I said, he's going to say Ascending.
Yeah, Ascending. Yeah. And he's like, oh, and what part did he play? And, you know, she just called him on his BS in front of the guy. And she, like, messing up the hustle. And I'm like, girl, shut up. It's the hustle.
This is what he does. This is what Axel does.
I came here to hear Axel hustle people.
Me too, and here you are ruining it for her.
Yeah, and then he still got away with it. So boom, in your face, girl.
Right. But I think that the reason, I can see people in Hollywood do this, though, where they actually have their own headshot.
Yeah, okay.
On their thing. It's like, and I could see an actor coming in, you know what? You look like a good actor.
But not at your place of work, John. Why he had his headshot at the chop shop?
No director's going over there.
Yeah,
the Wachowskis would go over there.
He got his head shop at the impound where he working at. Like, somebody's gonna recognize me. Actor number five. Okay.
Right. What did you think of the introduction of Kevin Bacon's character?
That came up on me. I was like, is that Kevin Bacon? That ain't Kevin Bacon, is it? Oh, that's him. Like, I don't know why. He just kind of surprised me. Like, it wasn't really like a wild thing. You know what I wanted? I wanted like those 90s shows where they have a guest star. And then they're like,
oh, yeah, they have like their own theme song.
And then they clap for 5 minutes. And then the guy go, okay. That's what I needed because he totally slipped my radar. I was like, is that Kevin Bacon? Because it took me a minute to register. But anyway, that's what I thought. It took me a minute to register Kevin Bacon because he just kind of faded in the background to me. And he's Kevin Bacon. So I'm expecting this presence on screen, and all I could look at was Axel Foley. So maybe Kevin Bacon does not need to be on the same screen with Eddie Murphy.
Do you feel like he overshadows Eddie in a sense with him being on it? Or did you feel like that his presence was needed to motivate the plot?
That's a good question. I guess his presence was needed. He could have been, that could have been any old guy playing that part, really. Like, I don't know. I would have liked Kevin Bacon to have been like a detective. Like, what he was. But I'm talking about, like, you know, like,
just an average Joe detective, or someone that's working with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, because it'll be like the old with the new kind of vibe. It would be like,
I wanted him to be that type of guy. Like, yeah, he plays a villain, but it kind of was like,
Paint by the Numbers.
Yeah, Sebastian Shaw as a detective.
That even sounds like a bad name, bad guy.
Yeah, it just sounds like, isn't there one name his villain? The name he. The character's name he played in X-Men First Class?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like looking at that, but in Beverly Hills Cop. And I was like, those two elements don't go together. Because it took me a while to figure out, too, that he was a detective. Because I thought, oh, he's just some rich a-hole that is a villain. And then like, oh, no, he's a detective. And I was like, wait, those two don't go together, because I don't look at detectives having Rolexes. I don't know. Anyway, it just messed me up. I couldn't put it together.
For me, it worked because I already knew that he was going to be a ball back. I already knew he was going to be a dirty detective because he had that little sleazeball kind of grin on him. Everybody looks up to him. I'm like, nobody even remembered anything that they learned from the third movie where, remember, basically you had that rich asshole that was the CEO of the Wonderland Park?
Yeah, that's. I think he should have been like a CEO or like a rich guy that the police were working with.
Or investigating.
Yeah. That's the vibes he gave to me, like a rich CEO vibe. He didn't give a detective vibe to me.
Right. Yeah, I think it was just the fact that they were trying to play off the narrative of the 80s yet again, trying to do an 80s trope of a dirty cop, which we've seen before, like in Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh, go ahead.
Because remember, well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but they were also doing stuff in Lethal Weapon 3, for example, where it was dealing with a dirty cop, a cop that got fired, that was selling automatic weapons to teenage kids. Hmm. And it was dealing with police brutality with hollow point bullets and being cop killers. So it was like they were trying to take a little bit from that plot and put it into this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it.
That's the way I was looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish that I could have turned on my 80s mind. But my mind is 2024, and I'm like, this guy needs to be like a CEO or something. Because even though dirty cops, they don't flash Rolexes. They just be looking like, I don't know. Like,
but don't forget, this is Beverly Hills. You know there's always going to be that one cop that's going to be flashy, showing off his stuff, you know, acting like he's better than all the other cops.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I got to remember where I am. This ain't Detroit.
No. And okay. I like, speaking of that part, okay, I just want to mention this. I loved how they did Detroit, where it's cold, damp, and wintry.
Yeah.
And you go into Beverly Hills, it's still that sunny California kind of vibe to it. I liked how they took us out of different elements within Detroit because of that. They've always done a good job with that.
Contrast between the two. Because and then in Detroit, it just looked like they turned the camera on and just went in the car, and it was just regular people. Like when he drove by, and these people were like dabbing and everything else. I was like, that's a real drug deal going down. Ain't it? And then he was like, hey guys, they like, well, whatever, man. I was like, oh, they know the camera there, okay? Because it just was so real to me, you know, that he just.
Right.
It just felt like they turned the camera on and these are just regular people on the streets of Detroit. And Beverly Hills is just, they always know the camera's there. So they just,
yeah, they do. They always know that people be watching. That's all.
Yeah, they just got to ham it up, you know, so they used to all this stuff.
This is another thing. Do you remember that one scene that we did for Beverly Hills Cop 3 where Axel's over there clapping?
Yes.
Now, did you like how he did that in this one? Because he did do it.
He did it. It was for, what was it for again? It was for.
But he did wind up doing it. He was with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, I believe.
Yeah, I know he did the clap thing where he makes his presence known to the villain while he's there. Right. I liked it in Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Me too. I thought it landed better in 3 versus this.
Well, clearly it did.
I asked you,
what scene was that again?
But yeah, I'm sorry everyone if I'm fogging up on my memory and everything as far as what that scene was, but I just remember the scene and him trying to do it and Joseph Gordon-Levitt was there. I thought it was okay. It just didn't make me laugh like I wanted to. And then him talking about the fact that him and his daughter, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character and his daughter had sexual intercourse. Did you? Okay. I laughed at the first time. Did you like it whenever he said it again, whenever Billy's inside the, in the car with him in the truck? Because you go to a strip club.
So dated. He sounded so dated. He had sexual intercourse with my daughter. I was like, who says those words?
Right? Come on. If I was I am a father, but you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have said sexual intercourse. I said, he fucked my daughter.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say that.
Right. But no, this too much on the nose on the first time I laughed. Then the second time, he could have dropped another F-bomb.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Especially when it's Billy.
Yeah. Yeah, because, what's this, PG? Do you remember?
No, this is rated R.
Oh, they didn't have enough F-bombs in this one or anything. It was kind of like PG-13 for me.
Right, it does have a PG-13 kind of flavor to it,
yeah,
stuff like that too. But Billy over there, whenever they rescue Billy, and then he goes, "So did he bring you to a strip club?" He goes, "That son of a bitch has sexual intercourse with my daughter." Oh, and I like how Joseph Gordon-Levitt is just in the middle of the seat. He's kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, like Homer Simpson. Back into the bushes.
And I also like how he said, there's no seatbelt in the middle. But then, of course, you know, you also have the helicopter scene, too, with Axel as well. Did you like, out of everything that you've seen as far as the stunt work goes, as far as the snowplow, the helicopter, and then you also have that other 18-wheeler thing that's like a little bit of a callback to Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh, man.
Which one did you like better?
I think the 18-wheeler. If I'm going to, like, you know, get into my 80s nostalgia, it has to be big trucks plowing through cars and plowing through everything. Helicopter scene, it was all right for me. I don't know. I guess if I'm trying to get in the 80s vibe, the first thing I think about is big 18-wheelers or that snowplow.
Those are the two things that I think of.
Yeah,
helicopter thing remind me of GTA.
Or Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I had to pick the two things that I liked about it, it would have to be the snowplow and also the truck.
Yes. Yes.
So,
what do you think about Sergey?
Sarah. I like the fact that we actually get to see him, even though he looks like Owen Wilson now with the blonde hair.
Oh, hell no.
He looks like Owen.
I didn't recognize him either. See?
I didn't recognize Serge at first, but once he started talking, I'm like, okay, that's Serge. That's the Serge that I remember. But the funny thing was that I liked about that was whenever he pulls up into the car and he's singing "All My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the, yeah. all the boys to the yard." This feels like Serge. Like he has, and he's the same person that we knew from 30 years ago.
I just wish he didn't have blonde hair. It really washed him out.
It threw me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blonde hair.
Yeah.
But then again, that might actually be something that he did in his own personal life, because really it's like, well, you have blonde hair now, nobody's gonna care that you have blonde hair. Yeah. Serge is only a small role.
Well, not to us. It is just a big role to us.
Right, because we were always curious about what he is doing.
Yeah.
Because he got introduced to us, I think, in the second movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the third one, he's selling guns, and now he's...
I almost forgot about that gun. That was guns.
I can't forget about that gun on the third one, but...
Terrible.
But didn't him going over to the real estate agents, trying to hustle the real estate agent and everything, made me laugh, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, oh, well, I'm going to be a granddaddy. Oh, my gosh, you are? Yes. Yeah, then she was talking about her and her boyfriend and how he did something to her, and it was kind of questionable. And everybody was like, you can call the police. And she was like, but it's fine. We're fine. So this house has, I'm like, ooh, that was awkward. Okay.
Yet again, I feel like they're also kind of borrowing from Lethal Weapon 3 with the real estate agent, which is also Joe Pesci's part.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. I do like how they set this up where Axel is over there looking at the place, and then you have Serge looking at it and stuff like that. So that was something I really liked, was that aspect to it. And then looking at this house, even though they're not going to purchase it.
Mm-mm. No, I'm surprised he didn't take the guy with him, the boy, with him to do to check the place out while Serge and the girl are in there with the real estate agent. But I guess because they're a couple, they're playing a couple in this hustle.
Right. Another thing I wanted to ask you too was, you remember when Billy first calls him up though too to get over to Beverly Hills, and he does the little Jamaican accent? Like you did before?
Yeah.
Who did you feel it? Like that was forced? Or did you fall back in love with him doing that again?
I just thought it was naturally Eddie.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I think usually he yell, hey, who is it? Who on the phone? You know, and he's like, who is this man?
Oh, who's this man?
I said, what the hell? And he's like, it's me, Axel. It's me, Billy. Who? Who? And he just messing around with him. He's like, your daughter's in trouble. Oh, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Come on. That's something that sold me on the fact that this is back. They're back again. The chemistry's still there. Oh, yeah. Taggart, seeing Taggart back and everything now as the police chief. That's something different that I didn't expect.
Okay. Well, I'm not ageist, but he looked like he was about to kill over any moment.
He did. He kind of looked like that pawn shop dude from The Crow.
Oh, I can't get it out of my head now. Like you. They got a greaser. Sorry, as you hear me.
You hear me, Axel?
Yeah.
She calls in for Becca. Okay, I'm just trying to see what else that we can actually talk about, too. But then you have her getting kidnapped. You also have Kevin Bacon or... everybody's now figuring out that he's actually dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay. I mean, I did feel a little bit of a danger element with Axel getting shot.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Because we never seen that before.
Mm-mm.
In a Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Didn't he get...
He got shot, but we knew he was going to be okay. Because, it's the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
But we never seen him get shot the way he got shot protecting his daughter.
Yeah, I know what I was gonna ask you. So with Kevin Bacon, right? And you know, when they first met Kevin Bacon, he asked Axel, how do you feel about your daughter defending criminals and cop killers? That must make you feel some type of way. And then, you know, they were driving back, you know, Eddie and his daughter, and she was like, well, just, you seem uncomfortable, like, basically, she's questioning him, like, you're uncomfortable with me defending criminals. And he's like, no, you know, he basically feels like he's uncomfortable with her being a lawyer and in this type of dangerous aspect. And then she questioned him, like, well, you weren't there for me as a dad. And I don't know, that scene was pretty good to me. Just
I thought it was good.
Those deep layers, like how she felt about being neglected because he chose his work over her and the mom. And that's his passion, like just, and even the police chief said that. He's like, no, you need Detroit. Like, you need it to be bad guys there.
Right.
That's, you know, that's his life. Like, right. His life is to go out and kill bad guys. And he
like, he's the Batman of Detroit.
Yeah, he doesn't like cop killers. And she's defending right. The guy that allegedly is a cop killer. And you see that type of dynamic between the two of them just going over their feelings. And she's like,
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. If you went to therapy.
I have to agree with you, Tamika, on that, because I thought that was better fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And stuff, and he also gives us more insight on what is actually going on and why he left. And it was actually the fact that the mother couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah, and he blamed his daughter too. He was like, "Well, you know, you're the one that wanted to do this, so whatever." And she told him, "If you went to therapy, you know, it's never the child's fault; it's your fault." You know, so I thought
I went to therapy.
Yeah, I went to therapy. I read some books. I was like, what? But yeah, he's blaming her. Yeah.
But I want to jump back on that whole entire thing, though, too, with her opening up to him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was something I really loved about it, was the fact that you have relatability within these characters and how they're fleshed out like that. And also, too, it gives us a reason why, you know, the uncomfortable feeling of, hey, I'm over here trying to protect cops from getting shot, and here you are representing someone that is a cop killer or suspected as a cop killer. And it does have that uncomfortable vibe to him, especially whenever he looks at him and be kind of like, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. My daughter's doing what? Mm-hmm. She knows what kind of job I'm into, and she's representing that. Mm-hmm. But I think also, too, once he realized what she's doing, he's like, okay, well, I may not like what you're doing and how you're doing it, but I'm gonna support you anyways. I'm gonna be with you on this journey as well, because I want to help you with this.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a father should.
Yeah, yeah. And he came to realize it was his fault, because like before the scene with the Mexican drug lords, I guess that was that scene where they were in traffic, and the men came out, and they were arguing again. And she was like, you don't even know what my birth date is. You don't even know how old I am. And before he can answer, it was like, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt come in and blockade that car, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got these drug lords coming, and they're like shooting in between traffic and all the other stuff. And this man got beef with a chihuahua. And I was like, if you don't leave that chihuahua alone,
he's going to tear your ass up. Like,
he don't care none about a gun in his face. It's like beefing with the chihuahua. I was like, what the hell is going on?
But, you know, I do like the fact that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is following them.
Yeah.
What's going on, because that's his investigation, and she's being involved in the investigation, and also Axel's also being involved as well. Mm-hmm. So it feels like that something is being taken away from him. And so him following them, he's just protecting her, though, too, even though he's being nosy. But
yeah.
But if it wasn't for him, they would have been goners. They would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the setup. I definitely liked the setup, the shootout and stuff like that. I felt like that was needed. I felt like the father and daughter dynamic of getting underneath the whole entire structure of what's going on with them, that was perfect. I liked that father and daughter moment. Even when he goes, you probably don't even know how old I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, yes, I do.
Yeah, he told her birth date and age. I was like, oh, okay. So he's been keeping up with her.
Right. So you had that going on. But yeah, I thought this was actually a fresh start for the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. I really enjoyed it. The first time, I ended up saying I didn't really like it that much. But my second viewing, after watching it, I feel like with me, with some comedies, I can't watch comedies by myself. I want to enjoy it with somebody else, because I want to laugh with somebody. And if you're in a room by yourself, and if you're one of those people like me, I need somebody. So my wife and I are watching it together, and we're laughing and stuff like that. So I definitely enjoyed it the first time, the second time. And yeah, I have to say, this was actually probably the this was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to dance with somebody too?
No.
Oh.
But
I thought it was pretty good too. It wasn't bad. I saw it by myself. It wasn't too
Party all the time.
Yeah, I saw it by myself. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad for the long wait that we had. I did agree with Eddie because, you know, when this script was coming out, he didn't want Axel to wear that Detroit Lions jacket because he thought, he should be grown up by now. And I did think the jacket was ridiculous at this point. He's like 50
million. He looked like a senior citizen that never got over being a cop.
Yes. He's like, I got to hang on to the glory days. I was like, oh, man. And then what I seen at the hotel, where he was checking in the hotel, and he was going to say he's from some crew or trying to do a hustle. And he's like, man, I'm just too tired right now. What's the room rate? It's like, yeah. And then when he was trying to do the hustle, I was like, come on, man, just pay for it. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Just pay the money.
But I want to also go back to something else that you mentioned too with Kevin Bacon and stuff like that. Especially whenever Eddie looks at the Rolex watch that he has on. He tells him, really? You're talking about cops and about taking things away from cops and stuff. I never seen a cop have a Rolex on cop's salary before. So I liked how he called Kevin Bacon up on that.
Yeah, and then Kevin was like, it's Rose Quartz Rolex and da-da-da and all the other stuff. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? He just need to be like a CEO or a jewelry man. Like, that's the vibes I just kept getting. Even when he described a jewelry, I was like, I would have wrote him as like a jeweler or like a CEO of a corporation. It didn't vibe like dirty cop for me. But like you said, this is Beverly Hills versions of a dirty cop, so.
Right. Okay. And I also like the meta aspect to it, though, too, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt winds up arresting Eddie, but then he gets arrested.
Yes.
And he goes, really? You're arresting me in this little Fisher-Price car?
Oh, damn.
It kind of reminds me of Demolition Man with Stallone when he first gets into the car. And it's that little electronic car that they had. Remember that?
Yeah.
But whenever he meets Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he goes, so, he goes, I see your nurse. He goes, look, I've been here to Beverly Hills before. He goes, there's a whole file. Have you seen this? It's in 84. You were arrested.
Yeah.
86.
Yes.
You came back.
Yes.
And then 1993, not your finest hour.
No, thank you. Please tell the truth. Speaking of little cars, do you remember when he stole the meter maid's car?
Oh, yeah, the meter maid car.
Yeah, and then he was like, ma'am, I need this vehicle. And then she sprayed him with pepper spray. He's like, you're not supposed to use that much.
You don't need that much.
We're hanging on to that car. She's like, I ain't going to lose my job. I was like, dang, he had to kind of wheel her off.
Yep, and I'm not, but yeah, I liked that whole entire meter maid scene. I thought that was, that out of three car stuff that they had, like, you know, stealing cars and stuff. The snowplow, that, and also the 18-wheeler.
Yeah, even though that's a slow car, but he did get far in that meter maid car.
He did. But yeah, guys, my question for you, though, did you guys like Beverly Hills Cop 4, Axel Foley? Tell us in the comments below. Is it a must-watch, or do you think it's a flop? Do you think he was just trying too hard? Tell us in the comments as well. And yeah, that's going to be it as far as this review goes. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure that we got, or was that everything that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, wait, one more thing. Okay. So he asked his daughter, do you have a compact mirror? And she said no. So it was pretty cool how he incorporated new technology to look under her car. He just used a camera feature for his cell phone to check to see if there was a wire or a bomb under her car, which I'm going to totally do that. But that doesn't mean somebody put it there. I just thought that was really smart.
I like that aspect, though. I didn't think of that, though, to be honest with you. Someone that's in the 80s using the camera as a feature to check bugs.
Yeah, they usually have like a compact mirror or like a mirror with a stick on it, and then they kick underneath the car.
Or if you have if you're in Sons of Anarchy, they just use that little electronic device.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, guys, that's going to be it as far as this show goes. I hope that you guys enjoyed this review. Tell us what you think on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us a 10-star review. Or if you want to, just go and tell me that I suck, and we'll take that as a good compliment.
Oh, my God.
So anyways, guys, that's going to be it. Have a great and safe night, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.
No bananas in the tailpipe.
No bananas in the tailpipe.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.